Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. We have been talking, this is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, and we have been talking about meekness and then about sulking. And now I want to talk about holy meekness. That may not seem very different from what we were talking about before, but there are some aspects of this holy quality I think we need to consider. And of all places, I found an interesting illustration in that wonderful novel by Herman Melville, Moby Dick. If any of you have not read Moby Dick, you should by all means read it. It is a fascinating book, and I have to confess that I've gotten through more than 60 years without reading it, and finally got around to it, for one thing, because I'm fascinated by whales, and we've had the opportunity to go out whale watching a few times from Gloucester, Massachusetts, which is right next to where we live, and I think it's one of the most thrilling sights that I've ever seen, to see those whales jump straight out of the water and make a 50,000-pound splash when they hit again. So anyway, I wanted to read Moby Dick because I knew it was about whales. But this particular illustration has nothing to do with whales. It's Ishmael, one of the main characters in the book. He hears a sermon in the Whaleman's Chapel in New Bedford, Massachusetts. And the sermon was on Jonah. And this quotation comes from the pastor's sermon. All the things God would have us do are hard. Remember that. And hence, he oftener commands us rather than endeavors to persuade us. All the things that God would have us do are hard to do. Remember that. And hence, he oftener commands us rather than endeavors to persuade us. If we obey God, we must disobey ourselves. It is in this that the hardness of his command consists. I would agree with that, wouldn't you? If we're going to obey God, we must disobey ourselves, and that's why it's hard. It's in this that the hardness of the command consists. But the scripture tells us that we're meant to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. My friend Joe Bailey, whose books some of you may know, he wrote a good many books, and Joe was a very remarkable man with deep spirituality. He's now with the Lord, and along with three sons. He lost three sons in his lifetime and had deep experiences with God because of that. But it never demolished his sense of humor. Good old Joe, he was a funny guy. And I remember when they had built a new dormitory at Wheaton College, which was where I think Joe was a Wheaton alumnus, and I happened to be an alumna of Wheaton College in Illinois. And this place was so luxurious compared to all the other dormitories, with wall-to-wall carpeting and telephones in every room and bathrooms shared by only two rooms instead of one bathroom per floor. And we were just discussing the outrageous luxury of this place by comparison with what we had had when we were in that college. And he said, well, I think we ought to put up a scripture motto. Maybe the class of 48 or somebody should donate a scripture motto to be put up in the lobby of that new dormitory. And I said, well, do you have a suggestion of a verse? And he said, yes, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's not very easy for us to learn that lesson, is it? Because we are so determined to be comfortable. Holy meekness does not mean feminine fragility. It doesn't mean weak sentimentalism or fluff. Remember in the book of the Revelation where John is told that he is going to see the lion, he sees the lamb. The lion and the lamb are synonymous. Their union denotes the specific mark of God, the meekness of the lamb, and the strength of the lion. I love to think of those two metaphors. Can you think of a more fearsome beast than the lion? Those tremendous claws, those iron jaws. Can you think of anything as meek as a lamb? And yet he was the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God. So let's disabuse our minds of the notion forever that meekness means weakness. In Zephaniah 2, verse 3, "Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, you who do what he commands. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. Perhaps you will be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger." This is a command. We are to seek meekness. And as the pastor said in the Moby Dick sermon, if we obey God, we must disobey ourselves. It doesn't come naturally to us to seek meekness. And so it is in this that the hardness of the command exists. In Galatians 5:16, "Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And this is a continual conflict, isn't it? That all of us experience, the old nature in conflict with the Spirit of God. Do you want to be led by the Spirit? I do. I want to live by the Spirit, be led by Him. But the only way that I can do that is to be willing to be led, be meek enough to be led by the Spirit of God, and to give up my right to myself. Hardest thing in the world. And that same chapter goes on to list what the other fruits of the Spirit are, one of which is meekness. Some modern translations use the word gentleness. Does it come naturally to you to be gentle? Not to me. Definitely not to me. But when we excuse ourselves because we don't feel meek or gentle or kind or loving to somebody, what we need to do is to read Colossians 3:12. "As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." In other words, put on those qualities. Just put them on as you would put on a garment. It's a decision of the will coupled with surrender to the Spirit of God. Holy meekness means to choose this and not that. Choose what God will do that you can't do by yourself. And it is a deep transfiguring work in the heart. These passages that I've just read show us that we can become meek. It's a work of the Spirit of God. We have to make daily choices. Now, I always have a hard time with these personal illustrations. Not that I have a hard time thinking of them, because every word that I speak to you brings to mind some point at which the Spirit of God has been speaking to me. And often, the illustration that springs to my lips is one that would confess somebody else's sins as well as mine. So I'm between a rock and a hard place. I think you understand. But I will admit that just yesterday, I had to make this choice to be meek. I have been given explicit instructions in God's Word that I am to seek meekness, to live by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to produce the fruits of the Spirit, one of which is meekness, and to put on as a garment that meekness. And so Just yesterday, I really did have the choice to put it on. I wanted to speak out. I wanted to defend myself. I wanted to accuse my accuser. I wanted to point out the fallacies in the other person's argument. And I realized that holy meekness is a choice. It also means looking steadfastly at Jesus. There is no holiness unless I look steadfastly at Jesus. When I look at my situation, when I look at the world around me, when I think of all the problems of all the people that I know and love, I'm tempted to be very worried, to be preoccupied with the problems. We need to turn our eyes deliberately away from the problems and look at Jesus. How did Jesus demonstrate meekness? I've given you some illustrations this week. His meekness in washing the feet of his disciples who were about to betray him. His meekness in riding on a donkey instead of a horse. His meekness before Pilate. And when he tells us that we're to turn the other cheek, think of the fact that when he was captured and bound and slapped and flogged, he could have called a legion of angels to his rescue. He didn't. He accepted it. I asked my husband Lars one time if he'd ever known anybody who had literally turned the other cheek when he had been punched on one side of his face. Lars said, yes, my grandfather did that. His lovely Norwegian godly grandfather. Just one more little story that came out. Lars is not great at telling me the stories of his past unless I just sort of drag them out of him, but he must have been a wonderful grandfather. He actually turned the other cheek. I do long for that holy meekness, and I pray that the Lord will teach it to all of us.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.